The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. Hey, Soma, what is going on? This is Pastor John Nelson. I am the lead pastor of Soma Community Church, and I am so glad that you are joining us this Sunday morning. I hope that you are enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. I'm hoping that you're having time to reflect. There's so much that goes on Memorial Day weekend. A lot of us have kind of forgotten the reason why Memorial Day is even a thing. And I'm hoping that maybe that video kind of helped bring into focus for you why we actually celebrate Memorial Day weekend. But for whatever reason you're doing, I hope that you are taking some time to relax with your family, even amidst the coronavirus and all the things going on. Now, if you're in Jefferson City, you probably have noticed a shirt already. If you haven't, I hope you got one. It kind of helps support our community. But a year ago, the day I'm taping this, which is a Friday, is when the tornado happened, the EF3 tornado happened in our city. And there are so many things that have happened in that last year. Now, who'd have thunk last year when we had the tornado that this year we'd be dealing with the lockdown and quarantine? Who knew that would be happening? Only God, obviously. But it's just kind of crazy how much can change in a year. But if you are from Jefferson City, let me tell you, from Soma to you, we are JC Strong. We're Jefferson City Strong. And I hope and pray that you have been recovering. And if you've not, feel free to email me. I actually am in contact with a committee that could possibly be able to help you out and walk you through the process. There are resources out there. We know that not everybody's recovered from this, but we want to help you to make those next steps. Now, listen, we want to get into the passage today and continue to dig into God's word as we have gone through this series called Freedom. You know, freedom, right? Like that. Freedom from, and there's so many different things. And today I have a very specific thing I want to talk about, which is freedom from anger. Freedom from anger. Ask this question for you. Has this ever happened to you? I want to read this. This is kind of interesting. Your respiration deepens. Your heart begins to beat rapidly. Your arterial pressure begins to rise. Your blood shifts from your stomach and your intestines all to your heart all of a sudden, and it's beeping. The central nervous system and muscles all begin to tense, and the process of the alternity canal just begins to cease. Sugar's freed from your reserves in your liver, and your spleen is contracted and discharges contents of concentrates and corpuscles, and adrenaline is secreted into your body. You might be saying, if I have had that happen, Pastor, I don't recall it. What are you talking about? Well, if you did, which you have, you've been angry. See, that's the physiological reaction to you being angry. It's what happens every single time you get angry is your body tenses up like that. It releases all these different things. Things change. Richard Cumberland is a 17th century theologian. He wrote this. He said, of all bad things in which mankind is cursed, their own bad tempers are surely the worst. I think that all of us have been angry. All of us have struggled with it. All of us have walked through anger, and I want you to find freedom from anger. Now, I should add a little thing on the end of it, a sinful anger. But anger, I want you to be free from anger, because this freedom is what you need right now. I heard the story of a young father. If you've ever been in the situation, you got a newborn, and the newborn's not cooperating, and so he decides in the middle of the night to take the newborn on a walk. Mama's trying to get some sleep, so he's being a good daddy. He puts in the stroller. Baby's just crying, and he's walking down the street, and this woman is walking the other way. She's getting her workout in, and all she hears as the father goes by is, calm down, George. Don't scream. Calm down, George. Don't scream. Shh. Quiet, George. Don't scream. And the elderly woman that's walking by is just like, oh, how sweet. Look at this young man. He, you know, in the back of her head, she's just thinking, look at this great daddy. He's taking care of his baby. He's walking. He's telling the baby to be quiet. And she stops. She decides to stop and go, baby, you did a great job. You keep doing a good job. You're a great daddy. Way to calm down. And I think George is really fortunate. And the young man looks at her and goes, I'm George. You see, I think that kind of encapsulates what anger management is. I think George, that matter, in that time actually had a pretty good anger management strategy. And joking aside, honestly, let me give you some interesting statistics that I found this week. Number one, did you know that family members who are angry actually commit 60% of all homicides? Yeah, that's what I thought. Dr. Redford Williams, director of Duke University's Behavioral Medicine Research Center, said the hostility and anger associated with type A behavior is a major contributor to heart disease in the United States of America. If you have a problem with anger, then you're five times more likely to have a heart attack than the average person. Is that you? It's also been found that in a study that men who score high for hostility on standard tests are 4 times more likely to die prematurely than men whose scores are low. Indeed, Chancellor McCartney says this. He was right when he said, anger is one of the most common sins, yet one of the most dangerous and injurious to the peace and well-being of man. Anger is a thing. You see, this sermon series has been called freedom from, and a lot of people need to be freed from so many different things. But I want to see what the Bible actually has to say about anger and how you can become free from it. And this one's personal for me. I used to have a massive anger problem. As a kid, I went to the counselor. Matter of fact, I always joke with my wife that the type of kids that she deals with in her classroom, she's a behavioral specialist, I would have been one of them. And my behavioral specialist, her name is Miss Odom. I hope one day she could see this. She helped me to walk through my anger constantly. She's a good Christian, amazing Christian woman who helped me to walk through anger. And here's the thing. The Bible has so much to speak on this. If you have your Bibles, grab them and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Because I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks directly to us about what anger is. And it's funny because as I read this so many years later, these are the same things that I was taught as a child. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 26. And if you're at home, stand in the reading in honor of God's word. Here we are. The word says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with everyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion that many give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for this day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. If I were to have one central thought that I think you could walk away with today, it's this. A person who does not know how to be angry doesn't know how to be good. A person who doesn't know how to be angry doesn't know how to be good. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you for emotions. As we have fallen back into sin patterns, or we've really stepped away from the things that you've called us to do, I beg you to help us to find a way to deal with our emotions in a healthy way, to heal from the hurts of the past and to find you sufficient. Father God, I ask that you help us today as we dig into what it means to be free from our anger controlling us. Give us freedom in you, through you, by you, and for you, and let us see you as perfect and holy in all things. Jesus, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, my strength and my redeemer, in whom I trust. In Jesus' mighty name, and all those who would believe would say, amen and amen. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to consider with me what the Bible has to say about anger, okay? First, the first thing the Bible says about anger is this. Anger itself, not a sin. Now, I know that's a surprise to some of you, but I'll say it again. Anger itself is actually not a sin. No. Paul doesn't say, if you remember the passage we just read, Paul doesn't say, well, don't be angry, but rather he says, when you're angry, don't sin. Notice the difference there. He doesn't say, don't be angry, because I know a lot of Christians that try to be like extra holy and they don't want to be angry at all. But that's not what Paul says. Paul says, be angry, don't sin. He says, especially don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Anger is a normal human emotion. We all have it. Through all the emotions, it must be controlled and channeled properly. In itself, anger is not wrong. In fact, anger is sanctioned by God, and it's exhibited by God. At least 18 times in the Old Testament, we read that God was angry. Literally, it says God was angry. But we know that God is without sin of any kind. So how does that work? In several of Jesus' parables, matter of fact, God himself is pictured as angry. Divine anger is always directed against sin or against those who commit sin. Let me say it again. Divine anger is always pointed towards sin or those who commit sin. On several occasions, Jesus himself was angry. Constantly. He never sinned, but he famously became angry when the temple wheelers and dealers, and they turned the God's house into a sin of din. And so he went around just tossing tables. My man made a whole bullwhip and started just whooping people's behinds. I mean, I don't know if you grew up. I grew up in the old school where mom made me go out and pick my own switch so that she could whoop my behind. Like, that was never nice. That was never good. So Jesus did them a favor, said, listen, I'm not going to have you pick it. I'm going to make it for you, and I'm whooping all of you as I flip these tables over. He was angry, but it was righteous. You see, God's followers, when we hear of evil deeds going on in the world, we should become angry. We hear of injustice. We should become angry. That's not wrong. It's actually right. Henry Ward Beecher says this, a man who does not know how to be angry does not know how to be good. A man who does not know how to be angry does not know to be good. He does not know how to be shaken to his heart core with indignations over things that are evil. It's either a fungus or an evil man himself. Listen, if you hear about children being abused, you should be angry. When you hear about injustices against evil people, you should be angry. Things should anger you. When you look on the news and you hear about people being shot, and when you look on the news and you hear about people's rights being taken away, and when you look at things going on overseas and you see what's going on, injustices in our own country, in our own backyard, it should make you angry. Christian, if you're not angry about them, then I don't know what we're doing. Yes, there are things that you can get angry about that are righteous. But second, there are wrong expressions of anger. He said, there's a kind of anger that's not condoned in the Bible. And we're about to see that that when anger is not over sin per se. Let's put it that way. It's not over sin, but it's over normal hassles of life. Like when your boss belittles you, he shouldn't do it or she shouldn't do it, but they do it anyway. When your daughter spills milk or when your husband says something thoughtless or hurtful, I've been guilty of that. When someone cuts you off on the highway, you know, on 50, and all of a sudden you want to give them the finger. Yeah, not that thing. Don't tell them they're number one. I've said it before. Anger is a normal emotion. Happiness, sadness are all part of the human experience. They're all normal emotions. But I don't say that happiness and sadness are good or bad. No. They're just emotions. It's what you do with them. The Bible never condones happiness or promotes it. It just says it's an emotion. It's one of your emotions, just like anger. The Bible doesn't condone anger itself. What determines if anger is right or wrong? Two things. Its expression and its duration. Let me say it again. Two things will tell you if anger is right or wrong. Its expression and its duration. Paul says in verse 26 in our text, be angry and sin not. Say that again. Be angry and sin not. This has to do with the expression of anger. Matter of fact, in verse 31, go all the way down to verse 31 with me. It says, let all bitterness, because he talks about the degrees. Let me go. He talks about the degrees of anger that are sinful. He says, the first thing he says is bitterness. Bitterness, right? Bitterness is often planted in our hearts when someone has done this wrong and it's not dealt with. It plants a root that goes deep down. And often there are enormous consequences both to ourselves and worse yet to those around us, but not to the person that planted it. Bitterness is what that is. But then Paul goes on. He says, not just bitterness, but then he goes, wrath. Wrath, the Greek word for wrath means to burn. Something happens to you. You get hot under the collar, right? You begin to internalize the anger instead of letting it go. You begin to burn internally. Every time you see that person, you're just like, you know what I'm talking about. You probably are picturing that person in your mind right now. But then it goes on. In the original, it says this. He mentions anger. And there's a difference between, what's the difference between wrath and anger? Well, wrath is what we feel on the outside, but the Greek word translated to anger is actually orge, and which refers to anger that shows on the outside. It's when it explodes from the inside out. Something happens and we begin to burn on the inside. Our eyes grow narrow. Our face turns red, if you can do that, right? Your veins begin to pop out, and then it comes out of you. That's anger. Which then turns into the next thing. In the original language, it's clamor. Literally means loud quarreling. You've been there. That's when we begin to raise our voices and yell. And I'm so guilty of this. Matter of fact, I'll give you guys a little hint. Most of these weeks when I'm preaching to myself. You guys just get to watch me on camera, which is kind of scary. So this is this week too. Because after you raise your voice and yell and you have these loud quarreling and you let your anger take the best of you, then it moves into what the Bible literally says is evil speaking. We get our word blasphemy from that word. We start to say hurtful, critical things about the other person. And then finally, the last word he uses is a word that's extremely dangerous, which is malice. It literally means wickedness, which seems in this context to be referring that anger gets out of hand and turns into verbal or physical abuse. The situation has escalated. Instead of just arguing about the problem, it's turned in malicious personal attacks meant to wound and hurt. And sometimes it even turns physical when we talked about the homicides and other physical abuse. The National Institute for Mental Health found in a recent survey that one in every seven American couples have used some form of physical abuse during an argument in the past year. One out of every seven. That's wrong. Matter of fact, if you go around, I couldn't find the exact statistic, but over and over and over I've heard it stated that the statistics of abuse right now, especially child abuse, are skyrocketing since we've been staying at home. Now, if you observe closely, there seems to be a progression in this passage that Paul's talking about. It seems to often happen something else. He says, hey, bitterness will lead towards burning anger. And inward burning anger is obvious anger on the outside. And then outward anger and shouting, and you blow your top. And then when you blow your top, you say harmful words, which leads to some physical abuse. And more often, it leads to verbal abuse and scars. But the second way, not just the way you do it, but also the duration of holding them. The duration. Paul says in the end of verse 26, it's so cool. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, why? Why? Here, let me read verse 27. I want you to see it. Verse 27 says it really clearly. And give no opportunity to the devil. Give no opportunity to the devil. See, here's what happens. And I remember when I was doing marriage counseling all those years ago, and our counselor told us, said, hey, if you all get an argument, you need to solve it. And I was like, what are you talking about? We need to solve it. He's like, you need to solve it. You need to take that beef, grill it up, and eat it. You got to figure it out. And it's hard. In the almost 16 years that we've been married, it's been hard over and over to find times to rectify our arguments. It is hard to do that. And when you have an argument against somebody, you got to bring that thing to pass. Because why? You're letting our enemy have a root in your life, that root of bitterness. He's planting that seed in your life. You don't let the devil have that in your life. You see, actually, it's a military term to not surrender ground to the enemy. And that's what you're doing in that moment. When you let the enemy have the ground in your life, you're surrendering the ground. You soldiers that are watching this right now, if you've been in the military, you know what that means. When you don't deal with anger, then you don't control and you don't control it. God says you're giving over the ground to the devil in your life. In every bit of ground that you surrender to the enemy is ground in which he can more effectively launch another offensive in your life. The devil wants to defile your relationship with God. He wants to destroy your fellowship with other believers. He wants to damage your marriage. He wants to embitter your kids. He wants to break relationships around you. And God says, I want to give you freedom from all that. That's what he wants. In moments of anger, the devil has gotten a foothold and destroyed many families, divided churches, and damaged testimonies, all because of anger. The longer you let anger go without dealing with it, the more ground you give to our enemy in your life. And when we allow wrong expressions of anger in our life, it grieves God. Look at verse 30. Go back to verse 30. Solutions to handle anger. Thomas Jefferson once had a maxim, and it's kind of funny. He says this. He says, when you're angry, count to 10 before you speak. That's what Ms. Hodum used to teach me. Count to 10 before you speak. If you're very, very angry, count to 100. Right? Mark Twain came along with a different version. Some people like his a little bit better. It says, when you're angry, count to 4. And when you're very, very angry, start to square. But the Bible has a different solution. Look at the second part of verse 26. It says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, don't go by the advice of this lady named Phyllis Diller, who said, never go to bed angry, stay up and fight. That's not what Paul's saying here. That's not what Paul's saying here. What he's saying is don't let the anger swell up and manifest itself in sinful ways that you saw in verse 31 at the very end. No, he said, take care of your anger quickly. He says, don't let the day end in anger in your hearts. Anger is to be controlled in your life. You say, but I can't control my temper. I can't control my temper. That's certainly not true. Satan is telling you that, and you're choosing to believe it. Friends, this isn't true. Don't believe that lie. For every one of you that this morning that are watching this, you can control your anger. I'll never forget one of the best things I've ever seen. It. I saw a man and a wife. They were having a vociferous discussion, all that argument. They were going at it. And she was like, oh, you and your mama. And he was like, well, you and your mama. And they were going back and forth. And I'll never forget, like, I'm sitting in the room, like, and they were arguing like I wasn't there. They're arguing like I wasn't in the room. I'm like, oh, okay, this is weird. And I've had discussions like that with my wife before. I mean, we've gone in, but woo, this is going. But I'll never forget the moment when her work called and he and she grabbed his phone, snatched his phone, picked it up and said, hello? No, she's not available right now. Well, yeah, I could tell you called. Okay, great. Hey, thanks so much. You know, you too. Have a great day. Bye. See, and that's why I was like, whoa, you just turned it off, bro. We do that all the time, right? Where you're in a situation and you need to do it. We twitch it on and off like a light switch. We do it all the time. You only express your anger in sinful ways because you choose to express your anger in sinful ways. How can you learn to control your anger? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you four ways to do it, and I'm going to get out your way today. Here we go. Number one, first, confess your sinful expressions of anger to God and those you have hurt. Let me say it again, because a lot of us want to skip this part. We want to go around and go, well, I said it to God. No, no, express it to God and those you hurt. If you have a habit of being angry in a sinful way or not giving up your anger quickly, you need to seek God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If ungodly expressions of anger or holding on to a long habit in your life, you've probably hurt a lot of people along the way. Let me just tell you that now. Matter of fact, if you look behind you, not literally, but if you look in your past relationships, there's a minefield of people that you have hurt. But when God wants you to make things right with those that you've hurt, he also wants you to confess your failure and then ask them for forgiveness. Jesus said, if you're giving an offering and you remember someone that you've offended for any reason, you should leave your gift to the altar, go right to them and make it right immediately. But Pastor John, immediately. But when I said immediately, it's right now. And every time you fail, every time you lose your temper again, you need to go to the person you offended and ask them to forgive you again. Let me say this really clear because some of us are really bad about it. Here's the way you do it. You go to God and you ask for his forgiveness. You go to the person, you tell them how you hurt them. Then you say the words, I am sorry for what I did to you. Will you please forgive me? And then you don't do it anymore. And if you do it again, you go back and say it again and you work through it. But if you don't, if you just say, well, I did this to you, but you don't apologize, there's no power behind it. There's nothing there. Great. You confessed it to me. Okay. Part of confessing my sin is also asking for forgiveness. But the second thing goes on and says this. Paul says in verse 32, I didn't read this earlier, but I want to read it now. He says in verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. When you're angry, you don't want to be the kind of person that you're angry with. Paul says, be kind anyway. When someone angers you, you harden your heart to them. But Paul says not to follow your heart, but to be tenderhearted towards them. So the last thing we want to do is forgive someone when they've offended us. Yet Paul says, do that. Do that very thing immediately. But third, learn to attack the problem, not the person. Learn to attack the problem, not the person. When you respond in sinful anger, you expend energy that tears people down, but does not take care of the actual problem. If I had any problem with any of these the suggestions I'm giving you, this is the one I'm the worst at right here. I want to tear everything down. I want to burn it all down. But God says, no, you can attack the problem, the sin issue. You don't attack the person. This is why Paul says what he says in verse 29. Verse 29 says, let low corrupting talk come out of your mouth. ourselves, but only such that is good for building up as it fits the occasion, so that we may give grace to those who hear. When you respond in sinful anger, you expend energy that tears people down. But Paul says, I want you not to do that. When you feel sinful anger arising in you, stop focusing on the person who made you angry and logically deal with the problem. And when you speak to them about the problem, use edifying words of grace. Of grace. Lastly, to get final victory over anger, you must live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Herbert Locklear says this. We sometimes speak about mastering our temper, but it's a wolf too ferocious for the flesh to tame. The flesh refers to the strength and power of our old nature. It's from God. What Locklear is saying here is true. Our temper can sometimes be too ferocious to tame, but it's not too ferocious for the Holy Spirit to tame. It's not too ferocious for God to tame. Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22-23. He says, notice how every one of them is the opposite of sinful anger. Here, listen to them. I'll give them to you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Aren't those all the opposite of anger, of sinful anger? The only way to ultimately not fall again under the power of destructive anger is to fall under the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us, the Apostle Paul tells us, to walk in the Spirit, which means moment by moment listening to his voice and doing his will. Listening to his voice and doing his will, which means spending time with him in the Word and prayer to drink from the waters and strength. That means making godly choices that feed your desire to please God rather than feed the desires of your flesh. Let me say this again. The soul tattoo today is this. A person who does not know how to be angry properly, godly anger, does not know how to be good. There's this old story of Alexander the Great. You probably have heard about him in school, maybe forgot about him, but Alexander the Great had a temper problem. He had a fervent temper problem, as history records. And he was strong with his loyalties to people, but sometimes anger would just take the best of him and he would sweep over him. One time, there's one story that I read about that in a moment of anger, he grabbed a spear from a guard and hurled it at a friend from his childhood and ended up impaling him. His lifelong companion, a guy, as we would say, his ride or die, guy had been with him since day one. All night for several days as his friend lied there dying, and it was Alexander the Great sat next to him, crying, writhing in remorse, piteously calling Clytus, Clytus by name, chiding himself for the murder of his friend. And Alexander the Great conquered the world, but his lust and anger conquered him. I've never killed anybody in anger, so don't think I'm about to confess that. But I've damaged loved ones' hearts through anger. I've let my anger get out of control before. And I bet you have too. I've let hurtful words that could never be recalled come out of my mouth. I fully understand the remorse of the anger left by the unconquered power of God. I've counseled scores of families that have been in this problem. Parents that have expressed sinful anger towards their children in ways their children will never forgive them on a sustained basis. And I've watched their children become more and more bitter towards them and eventually just walk away, drifting away and saying, I want nothing more with that God or anything else that you believe. I'm out. If you struggle with that, God doesn't want you to live in defeat or regret. God wants you to conquer your sinful expressions of anger. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let me give you the point and remind you again about what to do with sinful anger. Just to kind of land this plan so you get it. I want you to confess anger and patterns of anger as sin and humbly and contritely ask for forgiveness for those who have been hurt by your outburst of anger. I want you to replace sinful expressions of anger with kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. I want you to attack the problems, not the people, by carefully choosing the words that build up and not tear down. And most importantly, I want you to walk by the Spirit, by spending time with God and praying and listening, obeying His voice all during the day and making godly choices in your life. Guys, that's how we do it. That is what it looks like to follow after God in all things. Why don't you bow your heads and pray with me? Jesus, I thank you so much that you allow us the opportunity.
You allow us a simple opportunity to conquer our anger. Father God, I thank you so much for the reality that not only are you God and good, but that you are here with us and you are intimate. Jesus, right now we need you to conquer our anger. Give us freedom and help us. Strengthen us, Jesus, and heal us from anything that we've done. We ask this in your precious name. And all God's saints that would agree would say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.